my friends and electronic engineering countrymen. How are you? I'm great. Thanks for asking. Welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm your EE loving host, Amelia Dalton. Are you ready to RTOS? Because I am. Please welcome Mike Skirtick from Perceptio. Mike and I are talking about RTOS fundamentals, advanced RTOS techniques, and more. Let's go. Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Perceptio all about?
Well, we have a set of tools called Tracelizer, which is like an analytics dashboard for a real-time operating system. So it's like all the information you need to understand about what's going on under the hood of your RTOS-based development project. And we're moving into monitoring deployed IoT devices with our new device firmware monitor.
Now, Perceptio offers two online courses, the RTOS Fundamentals and Advanced RTOS Techniques. So first, tell me about the RTOS Fundamentals class. Who should take this class and what's covered?
Anyone who's just starting out using an RTOS or wants to broaden their knowledge, RTOS programming it's been around forever, but in the last 10 years or so, it's become a big thing because we have these giant 32-bit architectures right now and tons of memory. And so you can do much more with them. And an operating system is a good way to do that. So what do the courses cover? Well, we're covering the basic topics you need to understand how to successfully program in RTOS, like tasks and threads and synchronization issues. How do you deal with semaphores and mutexes and memory management? So these are the kinds of things that you're going to see in these courses.
Okay, so the next step would be the advanced class, right? What kind of techniques are covered in this class?
Yeah, well, this is more in-depth. I mean, the first one is literally the fundamentals. You know, what is an RTOS and how does it work? These are advanced debugging techniques, basically. So because debugging an RTOS-based system is quite a bit different than developing a sequential program. You have your entire program broken up into tasks which run asynchronously and may not even run to completion because other tasks are going to be interrupting them. So it's all about timing. And debugging a time-based system is very different. So the advanced course talks about things like RTOS pitfalls and issues and optimizing RTOS-based applications. And then we have a section on best practices and security and that sort of thing. So it's really quite an impressive course.
Excellent. So I noticed that you guys have an RTOS debugging portal on your website. So tell me more about that. What exactly would I find there?
Well, lots of blogs, white papers, and articles, essentially, all about debugging RTOSes. I mean, we have a series of blogs on there about the five large bugs that you find or the five problems that you find in an RTOS-based system, like dealing with timing issues and task jitter and CPU starvation. And then we've got a series of articles about how to use the tools in Tracelizer to find these problems and identify them and fix them as well. There's quite a lot of information there.
Very cool. All right, Mike, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you're a bit of a painter, and you also released a book, so tell me more about that.
Well, I have a book called Selections from the Dream Manual, and you can find it on Amazon. And it's a collection of 47 of my paintings with some obscure text by a good friend of mine. I do a lot of collage painting, and occasionally I sell some.
That's great. Okay, Mike, so if my audience wants to check out your paintings for themselves, where should they go?
Oh, you can find them on imagekind.com, and you'll have to search for Michael Skirtick and not Mike.
Very cool. Well, Mike, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, certainly. Have a good afternoon.
All right, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Ew, what? Edition. Now, we all know that how we interact with each other, you know, person to person, is different than how we interact with a computer or electronic gadget. I mean, you could give your cell phone a hug, but I'm not sure what purpose that would really serve. and you might look a little weird doing it. But what if this could change? What if we could pinch, push, or even high-five our devices? How cool would that be? And also kind of creepy, right? So if you're wondering where I'm going with all of this, yep, you're right. This is now a thing. So a group of researchers at Britain's University of Bristol and France's Telecom, Paris Tech, and Sorbonne University have created an artificial skin called Skin On that will in fact allow us to interact with our gadgets using skin-on-skin interactions. So this Skin On artificial skin is actually composed of three different layers. The top layer is colored and textured, meant to mimic the top layer of our skin. The layer at the bottom is actually silicone, meant to mimic the bottom layer of our skin called the hypodermis. Now, between those two layers in the skin on skin, that's where the really cool stuff happens. In that middle layer is a grid of interwoven conductive threads, which are then connected to the device itself. So when you press, pinch, twist, stroke, or otherwise manipulate the skin on with your fingers, that gesture is then detected by the conductive threads and then translated using software running on the device. Now get this. So far, this skin-on technology has been applied to a smartphone case, a laptop touchpad, and a smartwatch wristband. Now, I can hear you all loud and clear. Artificial skin-covered phone case. What exactly is the application for that? Well, this team contends that we could actually use this kind of technology to utilize the back of our phones as an additional touch-sensitive interface. Okay, and other applications include the ability to use touch pressure sensitive on-screen joystick controls and the ability to move around objects displayed on a computer screen. Dr. Renault, one of the researchers on this skin-on team, puts it like this. He said, "This work explores the interaction between man and machine. We have seen many works trying to augment human with parts of machines. Here we look at the other way around and try to make the devices we use every day more like us, more human-like." Okay, I mean, I'm with you to a point here. Not really sure I'm completely sold on a skin-covered phone just yet. But these kind of tactile devices may become more widespread. And if you're interested in trying out this research in your very own robotic Dr. Frankenstein, basement lab, the authors of this study have actually included all of the steps you need to replicate this research in their paper called Skin-On Interfaces, a Bio-Driven Approach for Artificial Skin Design to Cover Interactive Devices. And the authors of this study are even inviting developers with an interest in skin-on interfaces to get in touch. Get it? Get in touch? Oh, kill me. So, if you want to check out that paper or see a video of Skin On in action, of course, I've included a host of links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. Now, if you're going to have an artificial skin-covered phone, what kind of charging situation would you expect it to have? USB Type-C, of course. Seriously, you guys, I'm still not sold on this whole skin-covered anything. Just definitely not. But I am on board with USB Type-C. I can't tell you guys how many times per day I try to plug in a regular old USB the wrong way. Okay. So yes, today there are fantastic new standard battery charging solutions that can help you with your next design. But many designers out there don't really know where to begin with implementing these complex standards. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk called USB Type-C Wireless Power Charging, I sit down with Heberle Ahatlan of Worth Electronic and talk all about the latest charging standards and how new kits from Worth Electronic can make implementing them in your next design a snap. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal. It's right across the top. Or click the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Or even head on over to YouTube, youtube.com/EEJournal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, youtube.com/EEJournal. It is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 22nd, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.